As we come to the Lord's table this morning, I would invite you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. We take a few moments every Sunday to reflect on the death of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to read a couple of verses from the Old Testament that present the problem for which Jesus is the solution. God writes through Moses, Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. Then Yahweh passed by in front of him and proclaimed, Yahweh, Yahweh God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. The context of this befuddling text in your Bible is Israel's rebellion. They had been rescued from Egypt, from slavery, and they came out into the wilderness. And as Moses was up on a mountain hearing from God directly, the people danced and partied around a cow made from their earrings. They called it Yahweh, and they thought that it represented their God. And this was a blasphemy, an idolatry, an offense to the one true God who cannot be contained in a statue shaped like a cow, or anything for that matter. God is angry with his people, and Moses is a go-between and prays. And God stays an execution. Moses says, if you do not go with us into the land, if you don't shepherd this stubborn people, then we don't want to go. We need your presence. In chapter 33, verse 18, Moses says, oh God, show me your glory. And God says, my goodness will pass before you, Moses. So in chapter 34, verse 6, Moses gets an answer to his request. He wants to see God, and God says, nobody can see my face and live, but I will show you all my goodness. And then God passes in front of him with a declaration. We don't get a picture of what it looked like, we get a description of what it sounded like. What was the glory of God that passed before Moses? Yahweh God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity and transgression and sin, and yet he punishes the guilty. These twin themes comprise the goodness of God that God wanted to display to Moses, and which he displays to us in the text of Scripture. God's readiness to forgive sin seems to be at odds with his commitment to punish sin. Sin is so serious that there are consequences, not just for those who commit sin, but for those who are affected by it, generation after generation. And this is the great problem of the Bible. The great problem of who God is. He is a God who is ready, because of his own character, to be gracious, to be kind, to forgive. And yet, because of his character, he is a God who is ready to punish sin. How can these things be? This is the problem of God for humanity. And the solution is hinted at in the Old Testament. Over and over again, in fact, from animal skins in Genesis 3 when Adam and Eve sinned, God graciously covered their shame. How? With animal skins. Where did he get those? By the death of a substitute. An innocent animal dies in the place of sin, of sinners, so that their sins can be covered. There was sacrifice in Abel's day, sacrifice in Noah's day, sacrifice in Abraham's day, and of course the sacrificial system under Moses, where day after day, innocent animals were slaughtered in the place of guilty sinners, so that God's justice could be met in the punishment of sin, and those sinners who looked to him in faith and trusted his provision could be forgiven. We see this in the Day of Atonement, where God's people would be symbolically made right with him, made at one with him through the death of an animal. You see this in a ram caught in a thicket, and Abraham's son, Isaac, the sinner, goes free, while an animal is killed in his place. And this is seen throughout the Old Testament in a promise of one to come. But it is fulfilled in Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, in his death on a cross. How can God be simultaneously committed to punishing sin and committed to forgiving sinners? Only if he himself takes on flesh and stands in our place and is our go-between, is our innocent substitute to endure the wrath of Almighty God against the sins of everyone who would believe, and all of their sins, past, present, and future, and absorb totally his own wrath so that you and I go free. It's the only way. If the cross never happened, this text in Exodus 34 would forever be enigmatic. The Jews today who have this text and don't believe that Jesus is the Christ are puzzled at this. God forgives sin and he punishes the guilty. These things are not possible without Jesus. In Hebrews 9:26, we read this, "But now, once," not over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, "but once, at the consummation of the ages, he," that is Jesus the Messiah, "has been manifested, revealed, made known, seen, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Christians, that is our only hope. It is he in whom we place our trust for God to not only punish sin, but to forgive sin. And God was pleased to make him who never knew sin to become sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him, so that we could sing a song like the one we just sang. It makes no sense. These hands, filthy, dirty, and these same hands, holy. How? Only if we wear his righteousness, provided by his grace as a free gift for all who would believe. If you're here this morning and you don't yet have God's righteousness covering you by faith in Jesus Christ and his death in your place, believe. Turn and believe. And you can have forgiveness today for everything you've ever done to offend a holy God. And you can have a new life, a cleansed conscience, and best of all, a relationship, personal relationship with your Maker. Communion, or the Lord's table, is an opportunity for us to remember. To remember Jesus and his blood spilled and his body broken. The bread that you will eat symbolizes his broken body at the cross, and the juice you will drink symbolizes his blood spilled in our place. These are symbols of substitution. Him in our place. Christian, as you take the elements, remember. Remember what Jesus has done in your place. If you're not a believer, don't take the elements. Don't take this bread and this juice. These are for those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. You can today believe for the first time. That would be wonderful. There will be a few moments of silence as the men will distribute the juice and the bread. These moments of silence are an opportunity for you to remember Jesus, to examine your own heart, to reflect on your week, to confess any sin that you haven't yet confessed before the Lord. And most of all, to remember what he has done and to revel in the forgiveness that he has purchased. So the men will come forward at this time, take a few moments and pray, confess, turn, and remember.